let's go ahead then, and I'll get into the teaching tonight, and we won't take too long, and we can pray. And so, who knows, maybe it'll fill up before we're done. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're in chapter 16 and verse 9. Hang on a second, let me see who this is. Let's just start in verse 1. He says, "Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whosoever ye shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as also I do. Let no man, therefore, despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire to see him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. And then lastly, we're going to stop in verse 14. Let all things be done decently. Let all things be done. I'm in chapter 14. Let all things be done with charity. Let all things be done with charity. That's where we're going to stop tonight. What a good place to stop. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that verse. Let all things be done with charity. And Lord, that's a pretty direct command. And I thank you for that. I thank you for giving us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Lord, and charity is a big part of that. And Lord, we thank you so much for the fruit of the Spirit, which starts off with love, Lord, joy, peace, long-suffering. So, Lord, the love is a big part of what we are because of who we are in Christ. So we thank you for giving us that identity and that activity of being charitable. And we pray, God, for this time in the Word tonight. Thank you for this annotation of these men that were stewards of the ministry back in the time of the church at Corinth. And Lord, today we're stewards of your ministry, of your mysteries. And here you've given us opportunity to have these types of relationships. Thank you for Ron and for Jamie and for Sharon tonight. Just pray, God, a blessing on the things that we hear, the things that we pray about, and pray for those. We pray for the Bouchers, Lord. We pray for the Fugates. We pray, God, for Jeff tonight. He's got a migraine headache. He just had to leave, and he's hurting, and I pray for him even now. Pray for Randy Foster and his family who are having dinner tonight, a special dinner. Pray, Lord, for my family, who's probably en route right now. I just pray, God, you keep everybody safe and continue to just bless us in the Word. Pray for the Wests, who are often here tonight. Lord, we don't know where they are. Just pray, Lord, for especially for Barb and Larry Boucher. Lord, they've been so faithful for so long to be here, and we haven't seen them in a while. So, Lord, I just pray for them as well. And just pray for the church body. Lord, as Paul goes through and accounts for these faithful men, Lord, may we be counted as faithful. Lord, people that you can count on to continue to minister your word and your power for your glory. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so, you know, have you ever wondered where the open door was? You know, I think most of us are looking for God to work at times, and we want to, you know, when there's an open door, like in business, Jamie, you could probably attest to this. It's often it's a who you know type thing. You know, it always helps if you want to get a job or if you want to, like for your own employment, or if you're like in your business, if you're bidding work, who you know is everything. I mean, it really is. A lot of things happen even today, word of mouth, in the business world, and so, you know. oftentimes it's a friend or a relative or somebody that opens the door for you and gives you an opportunity. My job at Fagan was an open door from a person literally walking by and heard I was looking for a job in at church one day. And then he kind of stopped me and said, "Hey, we happen to have a situation at our company, you know." And I said, "Well, sure, I'll be interested." Next thing you know, bada bing, bada boom, I'm down there working at the Fagan company. So that's what happens. So it's like that also in the Christian life. We often say the door, right, has been opened or the door has been closed. And that's a really biblical thing because God does open doors and he does close doors. We see Paul talk about open and closed doors in the book of Acts, right? And the door of utterance might be given unto me that I might preach the gospel as I ought. So like any good father, God wants to open the doors of opportunity for us to accomplish our call. So just because a door opens does not mean it's a cakewalk, though, right? Randy was really clear this morning about that God calls us into suffering. The door opens and you could be opening up a door that's going to cause suffering, but he's going to allow that to bring great comfort, and because we're already victors. And so Randy did a good job of talking about that this morning. Because we have the extra privilege of going through a door, we sometimes have to work harder as well to prove, you know, that we're worthy of that door. You know, my son and I were talking. I used to play football, and you know, I think about the open doors in the NFL. There's a lot of nepotism, you know, but at the end of the day, those players that enter the league because their dad was a player. Look at Patrick Mahomes. His dad was a professional athlete. Now he's a professional athlete. But at the end of the day, they still have to prove their worth. Just because the door's open doesn't mean you're worthy, right? And I played football with this kid named Jason Belser one time, and he went Ray South, and I was at Fort Osage. And when I played against him, he was absolutely not remarkable, unremarkable, in my opinion. And I remember him. I remember, you know, engaging him in the field, and I knew about his father being a professional football player, and I thought, well, whatever, and didn't think twice about it. The next thing you know, he was playing at Oklahoma, and I thought, wow, that guy went to college and played in Oklahoma, you know, and I still was thinking, well, that's just his name. But then he played for the Colts, and then he got an interception in the Super Bowl, and then, you know, and so obviously Jason Belser, he actually played a season for the Chiefs, I think, there toward the end of his career. But anyway, he's able to actually, he had the open door, but it wasn't just the open door. Yeah, that's Sam walks in the open door. So glad you made it. You want a handout? You're good? All right. I know you got this all logged in your mind. Where's your mom? Okay. You don't have to sit in the back. Okay. Yeah. So I was just telling the Jason Belser story. So you know who Jason Belser is? Football player that played. Yeah, yeah. He got it. I was just telling him. That was my introduction. So the point is that just because someone opens a door, and because they're your relative or your friend or whatever, doesn't mean that you automatically, right, are going to make it. I remember my first year at Fagan, even though I had a friend open the door, I felt like I was going to lose my job for the first year, you know, because I knew I had to perform. Yeah. Huh? He never played in the Super Bowl. He didn't? Was it the playoffs? It must have been the playoffs. Oh, okay. So it's probably the championship. But he ended up, obviously. He was way better than I ever thought he was. So, you know, praise the Lord. But the point is, yeah, so the door got open. And he went through it, and then he proved himself. And so, you know, really in our spiritual walk, it's much like that as well. God opens doors, but just because he opens the door doesn't mean it's a cakewalk. And so we got to make sure that we, when God provides the opportunities, we are in his will. So 1 Corinthians 16, we read from 1 through 14. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:9 that there is a great door and an effectual open unto him. What is an effectual, right? For a great door and an effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries, okay? So the term effectiveness, right, you know what that means, or really power, that's what that really means. The word translated effectual here is found in two other places in the New Testament. The first one's in Philemon chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter in Philemon. In Philemon in verse 6, it says that the communication of thy faith may be effective. effectual, right, or effective, and powerful, by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. And then in Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So here that same word that you see in Hebrews 4:12, which we all know Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful, which, you know, alive and powerful, quick and powerful. Powerful is the same word that's used for effectual. So that's the same Greek word if you look underneath the English text there. So we can never disconnect God's open doors with the power of God's open word, right? Those all go hand in hand. So from the open word, we're going to see seven aspects of God's open doors as I work through this series. So number one, I'm going to give you seven of them. We're not going to cover them tonight, but just so you know where we're going. God opens doors to those with open hearts. He opens doors to servants in motion. He opens doors to saints willing to change. He opens doors to those who have reproduced themselves. He opens doors in the midst of adversity. He opens doors in His time. And He opens doors to those who are charitable. Remember, we mentioned in verse 14, let all things be done with charity. So verses 9 through 14, you start in verse 9, you see, for a great door and effectual, right? Some power is open unto me. And there are also many adversaries. So number one, God opens doors to those who, with open hearts. So we gotta be careful to whom we open our heart. And look over in Psalm 139. I didn't put that on your handout, did I? Oh, did I? It's printed out, like the whole verse? Oh, no, I just gave you the reference. Okay. Amy, you want one of these? We're packing out the house tonight. We did better during the NFL season. So, he says here in Psalms 139, verse 23. Are you there, Jamie? You want to read that, 23 and 24? That's it.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Amen. So David asked God to search him and know his heart and his thoughts. So if there is a wicked way in us, we got to drop it off at the cross of Christ. I mean, if that's the reality. And so David's like, hey, seek me and know my thoughts. Search my heart. And so Paul, he speaks of this in the context of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31, which we've already covered. But back there in that text, in verse 31 of chapter 11, he says, really, if you go back to verse 30, he says, "For this my cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For I would that you judge yourselves. I'm sorry. For if we would judge ourselves, I'm sorry, we should not be judged. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he may come, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." And so Paul says here that we need to make sure that we judge ourselves, that we're not judged. But when we are judged, God's chastening us, right? So we're not condemned with the world. And we should wait for one another, right? So so really what Paul's talking about is having an open heart and being concerned about other people. An open heart must be kept very carefully, or be carefully kept. In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Right? Our hearts are very important. And so open hearts are really important to have open doors. And Paul had an open heart, for sure. He had a good heart. Paul was expecting the Corinthians, point B, to care about things that God cares about. And so Paul, and you know, really Randy touched on that this morning. It was very disappointing, of course, for Paul, because they didn't often care for everything, the things that God cared about. But yet God gave him comfort, even when it was uncomfortable. So God cares about his relationship to his children, and we should care about our brothers, even when they don't care for us. The Macedonian church's actions revealed their heart for God. And you guys know over in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, how they gave above their own ability, right? God used them to give beyond their ability so that the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded, right, to their liberality. So beyond their power, Paul says, they were willing of themselves to give. Why? Because God opened a door. God opened a door, and it was effectual, and he brought the supply. So like right now at Heartland, let me get real practical with you. There's open doors. I can see him as the pastor is very clear. There's open doors in Word First Publishing. There's open doors, in ministry, really. Just from what Barb and Larry are doing at the school, there's been 12 people come to Christ this year over at the elementary school. There's been there's open doors in a lot of the ministry. There's open doors at Heartland, really. But we also are weak in many ways. You see cancer, you see sickness, you see sometimes you see Christians that are immature, you know, like 1 Corinthians style Christians that are not really focused on Christ. They haven't grown up yet and matured in their faith in Christ, and so that causes a certain immaturity issues in the body of Christ, and so on. So when you look at it from just the outward, sometimes you can say, "Man, we're weak. We don't have the money. We don't have the power." But we do have the power. Why? Because God's opened the door, right? And it's his power. It's an open door. And with the open door comes the resources, right? So sometimes we got to walk by faith and not by sight and just go through those open doors. Because, yeah, well, all the time. Amen. But I tell you what, it's not always as easy as it sounds, is it? So they gave of their joy and their deep poverty. So in poverty, they were giving. And they gave beyond their ability. They gave beyond their power. And they gave beyond themselves. So Paul says, man, they first gave of themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So these people were sold, as we like to say in our culture, they were sold out. The Macedonian believers, they were in poverty. They were given above their ability, and you know, really, it's what I think of oftentimes when I go to these countries like India and see some of the sacrifices and the means by which the ministry gets done. Literally, is out of poverty, but the door's open and the souls are numerous and the fruit is plentiful, right? Because the Spirit's power is there, you know, and so it's amazing what God does with weakness, just like Randy was talking about this morning when he quoted 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. So point C there, God will open the door if we unlock it. So I didn't give you all the subpoints, did I? So I'm sorry for that, but I'm about done with this first one. In Revelation 3:20, you guys are familiar with that. We've been talking about it on Sunday morning with the door knocking. You know, read the book of Colossians. The hardest thing for the saints to do in the age in which we live is spend personal time with the Lord. So all across the world, congregations of mixed multitudes gather, you know, around, and they want to hear dynamic, spirit-filled speakers to preach the word. I'm not against that necessarily, but at the end of the day, the adoration and the activity needs to be about the Word of God and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and not entertaining. That's really where we're getting to as a culture, where it has to be entertaining or people won't pay attention. And that, there's not a lot of substance in entertainment. It's got to be in the Word. I was actually grieved today. I was driving over here for the pastor meeting, and the radio personality guy on the Christian radio says, you know, I'm kind of bummed because the Chiefs aren't playing. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the next season, maybe baseball. You know, and I'm just listening to that going, I get that when you're lost, but dude, you're a Christian. I'm on a Christian radio station. Get your act together, man. So it's like there's so much more to life than, you know, professional athletics. And so, you know, that just belies, it tells you exactly where the guy's at. But anyway, that's where a lot of Christians are at. And so,
their focus.
The focus is off. That's right. So the door is there. There's nothing wrong with enjoying sports, of course, but the focus is off. Absolutely. The door is there. So we got to spend personal time with Christ, supping around the Word of God. And I've talked a lot about that in recent days, so I don't want to go too far into that. We also talked a few weeks ago how the Bible's like a door. I really believe that's on purpose. And the way God designed, we don't use scrolls in this church age. We use books that open and shut like a door, because this is where the Word is. And so John chapter 10 in type is fulfilled even in the way we read our Bibles. And even if you use one of these, it's like a window. And so the operating systems. So anyway, open doors to those with open hearts. That's the first one. The second out of seven, and this is as far as I'm going to go, is open doors to servants in motion. So servants in motion is the second one. Do you want to be a servant in motion? God opens doors to servants in motion. So in verses 3 through 6, that's really what we see there as well. The Spirit is always moving. And he says, "And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." Right? Whoever it is. I'm not really worried about who it is. Whoever you say is approved is who's going. And since Genesis 1 and verse 2, the Spirit of God has been moving. And so this is the first verses 3 through 6 is all about people going and getting the job done in ministry in regard to this gift that we're talking about. So since Genesis 1-2, the Spirit of God has been moving, and he has never stopped. A preacher at the Baptist Temple used to always say, "Find out where God is moving and get in on it." And Rick Warren always says, "Find the wave and ride it." Henry Blackaby says, "Find out where God is working and adjust your life to join him." And Jesus Christ said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," right? And so I'll stick with Jesus. But the Apostle Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So you can sense that God is moving, and you want to find out where God's at and get in on it. There is a lot of truth to that. And I might add, you might want to find out what the world's doing and go 180 degrees against it. But Paul planned, but God directed the movements. That's the reality of the situation. In Acts chapter 14, if you go back there in Acts 14, in verse 27, it's very clear that ultimately God was the one directing the Apostle Paul. There we go. This one I have to read. Acts 14:27, the Bible says, "And when they were come, he had gathered the church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and they abode long time with the disciples." So in Acts 14:27, Paul had been on the move, but then he was on the move because God opened the door. In Acts chapter 16, just a couple verses over in chapter 3, he says, would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And then it goes on to say, "And as they went through the cities and delivered them the decrees to keep them that were ordained to the of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they were gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God in Asia." And so God had said, "Hey, you know what? I've opened the door, but you're not going here." During this first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas, the Spirit moved them from city to city and region to region, preaching the gospel. And then they had to go where he told them to go. In chapter 14, or in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, God moved Philip from Jerusalem to Gaza without telling him why. And then he was simply to obey God when the Ethiopians showed up and they shared the gospel with him. So God is always moving his disciples around. So Paul planned, but God is the one who directed his movement, right? So he's going this way, and then God says, "No, you're not going here. You're going there." Sometimes God does that in our life, doesn't he? You think you're going here, and then he goes, "Nope, you're going over there." I think you found our church by driving by it or something, didn't you? Yeah, you were just driving by, and God directed your steps here, so we're thankful for that. So when was the last time that we knew that God moved us to share the gospel? So last night I was trying to share the gospel with this guy named Tiny, and then I come to find out he goes to church over in a church we used to circuit over near Green Valley, so that was kind of cool. But, you know, there's times when God just moves you to where you just got to open your mouth, or you're disobedient. You know, praise God when that happens. And so, sometimes he'll change your appointments and your times, and you'll be frustrated, and you're like, "Man, I need to be here or there," and then all of a sudden God opens a door to share the gospel. And that's always convicting, because you realize, oh, I'm on God's schedule, not my own. So I need to do what God wants me to do. So what ministry, you know, do you want to be involved in? I know you guys are all involved in ministry. And once you get in ministry, you start moving. You're going somewhere. And, you know, once you get to going, God can move you. And so sometimes people feel like, "Man, I'm going to work in the children's ministry the rest of my life," which there's nothing wrong with that. But oftentimes it's when you get moving in ministry, then God grows you and moves you on, you know, and then you never know where God's going to take you. And so if you don't like the Kingdom Seekers, you know, you can always try ushering. You can try AV, driving a van. Man, we could use someone to drive up to the truck stop and invite truck drivers to church. That'd be awesome. We just don't have people willing to do it or able to do it. And so little things like that, there's so much that could be done, but people have to get in motion, right? They have to get moving for God. And I think a lot of times the reason things don't get done, you got a lot of people that are moving, but it's the same people. But it's getting the people that aren't moving to start moving for God. They're moving, but they're moving in the wrong places. They're not going through God's open doors. They're going through doors and paths that aren't leading them in the way they need to go. And so there's just so much I could talk to you about that, but I'm not going to with the four of us, five of us, six of us here tonight. So you guys understand how important it is, though, to start. And here at HBF, we start with salvation and baptism, but really discipleship is where it starts. Is really when you start as a disciple, you start following the Lord, and you get moving. Those open doors, man, I tell you what, they start with an open heart, but once the servant gets in motion, more doors seem to open. God continues to leave the doors open as long as we're moving with Him, and that's a real blessing. So next time we get together, we'll talk about point three, which is that God opens doors to saints willing to change. And that's also a big part of it, is our willingness to, you know, be who God saved us to be as we move forward and we grow forward in faith. So Paul was like, whoever you want to send, send them. Just make sure that, you know, we're all moving in the same direction. And, of course, that was a great blessing to the Apostle Paul. And he was willing to work with whoever they sent. Whoever was in motion, he was happy to minister with them. You know what I did? I forgot the prayer pieces. And so, I mean, that would be a lot for each of us. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Amy, can you see if they have those done in my office? I am coughing. Yeah. Do you need my keys? Okay. I'm glad Randy didn't use this bottle of water. Hey, Mean Joe. You remember that commercial? Yeah.